Peace in Our Time, Episode 2. An afternoon in June 1941, some 9 months after the defeat of Great Britain by Germany. At the Shy Gazelle near Sloane Square, lunch has been served in the upstairs room, while in the saloon the only customers are Mr. and Mrs. Granger, and they sit silently at their usual table. Behind the bar, the pub's manager, Fred Shattock, and Phyllis, who comes in to help when Doris, Fred and Nora's daughter, is at work.
You heard about Mr. Lawrence's friend, did you?
Which friend?
The one that drives a taxi.
I've heard nothing.
Mr. Lawrence was telling me earlier. His friend had some trouble last night at Earl's Court.
What kind of trouble?
The usual.
Anyone get hurt?
Yes.
One of them?
Yes. He was an officer and he come up to Mr. Lawrence's friend and tells him he wants to go to Maida Vale. Well, Mr. Lawrence's friend has only just enough petrol left to get himself home to Wandsworth. And so this Jerry officer starts ticking him off and threatening like, and then Mr. Lawrence's friend lets him have one smack in the jaw, and down he goes in the gutter, medals and all. And then Mr. Lawrence's friend drives away double quick.
Did anyone see?
Nah, it was one of them quiet streets round by the Grove.
Well, Mr. Lawrence's friend had better look out for himself if that officer got his number.
He said he couldn't have, what with it being dark and everything. And him lying on his face.
Well, you'd better keep quiet about it anyway.
Yes, Mr. Shattuck.
And tell Mr. Lawrence to as well next time he comes in, and his friend.
What about Saturday, Mr. Shattuck?
Well, what about Saturday?
Well, Doris doesn't work at the Savoy after 1 o'clock, so she'll be home. He said I could have the afternoon off.
All right, all right.
Thanks ever so, Mr. S.
So, Mr. Shattuck?
Yes, Mr. Granger.
You could have a look at the paper.
Sure you can spare it?
Yeah, I'll finish with it.
Any news?
Well, there's a bit about the King and Queen.
What?
It says they're going to stay there indefinitely, the whole royal family.
At Windsor?
Yeah. There's a picture of the Queen and Princess Elizabeth in the park. You can see the guards watching them in the background.
How does she look, the Queen?
There she is.
She looks sad, doesn't she? But her chin's up.
They won't find it easy to get our king and queen down.
It makes me feel sick. That's a fact.
Yeah. Heard anything from your boy?
Well, he's still there. That's all we know.
Am I too late for a brandy, Fred?
No, Mrs. Borton.
Good.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Anything wrong?
No, nothing at all.
Well, I'll be pushing off. You ready, Bart?
Yes, dear. I'm ready.
See you tonight, Mr. Shattuck.
Yeah, see you tonight.
They're an extraordinary little couple, aren't they? I see them here all the time. They never seem to get drunk or say anything much or even speak to each other. What do they do?
Nothing. They live in two rooms just off Sloane Square. 1939, they had three sons. Now all they've got left is one in a concentration camp in the Isle of Wight. And they go to the pictures sometimes.
Here's luck, Fred. We can't say happy days anymore, can we?
You're dead right, we can't.
Will it ever come to an end, do you think?
The war?
No, all this.
I suppose it must, sometime or other. But whether we'll be here to see it is another matter.
I'd like to be here to see it. Give me another, will you?
Righto.
Oh, don't look shocked, Fred. I haven't taken the bottle seriously.
You're looking a bit peaky. Is anything wrong?
You asked me that before.
Yeah, I know. Phyllis?
Yes, Mr. Shattuck?
Why don't you run upstairs, give Mrs. Shattuck a hand?
Oh, OK.
I haven't anything to say, really. Nothing particularly private, that is.
Whatever we say nowadays is private. It's wiser.
Yes, I suppose it is.
What's upset you?
Just an incident. The sort of thing that happens every day. Well, you know that as a buyer for John Mason & Co, I have to go traipsing about all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a Mr. Oakley. He's a nice little man, half Jewish. He dyes furs. I had to go and see him this morning. He's a little place halfway down the Edgware Road. There were two SS guards standing outside the shop and another one inside. They'd just taken him, Mr. Oakley, away.
What for, did they say?
Questioning! That might mean anything.
Did they knock him about?
No, apparently not. I tried to comfort poor Mrs. Oakley as well as I could. She was convinced they were going to torture him to death and she'd never see him again.
Well, there haven't been many cases like that yet.
Yet?
Yes, that's the word.
You don't think the good behaviour policy will last?
Do you?
I think it all depends on how things go. It's certainly working the way they want it to. They're getting more and more converts every day.
Some people are born silly.
They think they're being sensible, not silly at all.
Perhaps they are.
Fred!
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Mrs. Borton. I don't want to have any truck with them, but I can't help seeing people's point of view every now and then. Life's got to go on, hasn't it?
Your son's life didn't go on, did it? Janet Braid's only son was killed too. I don't suppose either she or Nora would like to hear you talking like that.
I'm not talking like anything, Mrs. Borton. I'm just trying to see things clearly, to get my mind straight. I hate the bastard, same as everybody else does. There isn't any argument about that.
On the contrary, there's a great deal of argument already about just that.
Not here there isn't.
Are you sure?
I can't be answerable for my customers' opinions, can I?
Oh, Fred.
Well, can I now? Be fair.
It isn't a question of being fair. It's a question of holding on to what one believes in, what one has always believed in.
I've always believed in one thing, Mrs. Borton, and that was that the people of this country were the finest people in the world.
Don't you still believe that?
Of course I do. In a way, but you see...
I don't see.
Now listen, Mrs. Borton.
I'm listening.
As I see it, it's like this. We were the finest people in the world, see? But we were getting too pleased with ourselves. We all swore in 1918 that we'd never have another war. Then gradually, bit by bit, we allowed our politicians and our newspapers and our own selfishness to chivvy us into this one. Even as late as 1938, we were dancing in the streets because a silly old man promised us peace in our time. We knew bloody well there wasn't a dog's chance of peace in our time. Then suddenly, in 1939, we woke up and found ourselves in the soup. No guns, not enough aeroplanes, half the navy we should have had. Then what happens? In spite of blood and toil and sweat and fighting on the beaches and in the streets, we get licked. See? We lost the Battle of Britain, not because our flying boys didn't do their best, but because of our stupidity. They hadn't got a chance. They got shot down, my son and hundreds of other people's sons. Now we've been conquered. Do you see now why I don't any longer quite believe all the things I was brought up to believe? Do you, Mrs. Borton?
That was very bitter and impressive, Fred. But it didn't impress me.
I don't want to impress anybody.
Do you think it would have been better for us if we'd won the Battle of Britain?
Of course I do.
I don't.
Mrs. Borton?
It might have been better for America and for the rest of the world, but it wouldn't have been better for us.
Why not?
Because we would have got lazy again and blown out with our own glory, and that would have finished us. As it is, in defeat, we still have a chance. There'll be no time for class wars and industrial crises and political squabbles. We can be united now. We shall have to be until we've driven them away, until we're clean again. I think I will have another brandy. How's Nora?
She's all right. Bit miserable, of course. Churchill's death upset her terribly. Glad they didn't hang him. Being shot seems cleaner somehow. More dignified.
Yes, that was clever of them. Fred, be careful, won't you? Please don't think that I don't see your difficulties. I do. You have to be outwardly civil to everyone who comes in here. That's common sense. But don't give in. Don't ever let them win you round with their careful words and their good behaviour policies. They're our enemies, now and forever. If other people find it expedient to be nice to them, do remember that they don't count. They're only the minority in this country and they'll never be anything else.
Why, Mrs. Borton? What a surprise. We don't often see you at this time.
I've taken to drinking heavily in the middle of the day, Nora. It's the beginning of the end.
I wonder we don't all drink ourselves silly, and that's a fact.
Quite a nice idea, as long as we have anything to drink. Anybody left upstairs?
Yes, two tables. Miss Vivian and Mr. Bourne at one, and him and Mr. Bannister at the other.
Him? Never saw him come in.
I did.
Who's him?
You know, our friend. Our faithful watchdog. The pride of the Gestapo. Herr Albrecht Richter.
Oh, the city slicker.
Shh, Mrs. Borton, he may be coming down at any moment.
So Chorley Bannister is having lunch with him, is he?
Yeah, they're great pals.
Typical.
That was a jolly good lunch. Nora, I don't know how you do.
Hello, Alma.
Hello, Lyra.
You You all look very mysterious. There's quite an atmosphere. Are you plotting anything?
Yes, the overthrow of the Third Reich.
Mrs. Borton, please.
Good for you. Nice work if you can get it.
It's foolish to talk like that, Mrs. Borton. Even in fun. It's inconsiderate, too. We have to earn our living, you know.
Come on, George, I shall be late for my rehearsal. I'm putting in two new numbers tonight.
In English or German?
Take me away quickly, George. She's got that battling Women of England glint in her eye. She's as bad as Janet.
Nobody could be as bad as Janet.
Could they not, Mr. Bannister?
The worst thing in the world is a bore, and poor Janet is most definitely and triumphantly a bore.
I don't agree.
The girl gave you change, did she, Mr. Richter?
Yes, yes. Good afternoon, Mrs. Borden.
Good afternoon. Any hope of any cigarettes, Fred?
Got a few packets of Abdullah's, that's all.
I have some Virginians, Cravenet. Would you like some?
No, thank you. I only smoke Turkish or Egyptian.
Here you are, Mrs. Borton.
Thanks. Goodbye, Fred. Goodbye, Nora. I'll probably see you later.
Can I offer anybody a drink? Miss Vivian, Mr. Bourne. It's not too late, is it?
It's just on three.
No, thank you. I have a rehearsal.
Mr. Bourne, Chorley?
Thanks. All right.
Oh, George.
One quick brandy, like Epps's cocoa, would be both grateful and comforting.
The same for me.
Well, you are tiresome, darling. I shall be so late, and Pavarucci will get in a rage and it will be hell.
5 minutes, that's all.
One, two, three. Miss Vivian?
Oh, all right.
Four brandies, please.
Four brandies.
Perhaps you and your wife would do me the honour of drinking with me.
No, thank you very much. I'll never drink. I'm going up to help Phyllis with the tables.
Right. I don't drink either, thanks all the same.
Who is Epps?
Epps is cocoa. It's an advertisement that I remember from when I was a little boy. Epps is cocoa, both grateful and comforting.
I see.
It's really a code sign, Mr. Richter. George is very high up in the Secret Service, aren't you, darling?
What?
Yes. My number used to be 8134X, but I was promoted only last week, and I am now 8135Y.
Why, indeed.
That was a hideous little joke, Lyra. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You are pulling my leg, I see.
Why, Mr. Richter, how can you be so suspicious?
As a matter of fact, Mr. Bourne, I really am very interested. What do you actually do?
Sweet Fanny Adams.
What is that?
It's idiomatic. A polite expression for something quite different. Like Lebensraum.
I do not quite understand, but I gather you are still joking.
It's a national characteristic, Mr. Richter. Whatever happens to us in England, we always make jokes.
In certain circumstances, that might be a little dangerous, might it not?
It might indeed. So?
Yes. Heil Hitler.
Yes.
That was a mistake, Mr. Richter. A psychological error.
In what way?
It places us in an embarrassing position.
You are a defeated nation. Isn't that an embarrassing position?
Exceedingly. But defeat, amongst other things, is an attitude of mind. We haven't all of us fully acquired it yet.
Then I can only advise you, for your own good, to acquire it as quickly as possible.
This is all very unpleasant, and it's quite unnecessary.
I quite agree. I agree with Mr. Bourne, too. For me to expect you to drink with me to my Führer was indeed a psychological error. It was what you describe in England, I believe, as Rushing's offences. I should be delighted to honour any toast that you care to propose. What shall it be?
Epps's cocoa?
Epps's cocoa.